The Cinema Specialists are back, and today is one of our favorite episodes of the entire year. We're doing our Oscar predictions and preview for 2024. We're going to go through every single category because that's what we do, and I'm so excited to actually sit here, break down each of these categories in one of the most fun years we've actually had for Oscars in a very, very long time. I always like to look back and see how we did in the past. In 2021, I got 8 wrong. John got 12 wrong. In 2022, I got 7 wrong. John got 9 wrong. In 2023, I got 7 wrong. John got 12 wrong. So if you're wondering, if you're trying to keep track, if you don't know how to do the math there, I'm 3-0 against you, John. You have not won. How does that feel?
You know what? I take risks, and you just go with the easy answer all the time. So
it's called wanting to win, John.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping that this year, when things are like boring, it's easier for me to like get there. It's going to be the small categories this year. I think the big categories are pretty straightforward. The small categories are going to be what determines whether or not we win this year.
Yeah, I am a little disappointed how simple these are when I was doing my very little bit of research building into this, because I have my favorites. And the one year when I got the most wrong, it was because I refused to believe Coda would win Best Picture, even though everything was pointing to Coda winning Best Picture. Oppenheimer just feels like such a shoo-in for so much that I'm sitting here wondering, does it make a difference? Does it matter at all that Oppenheimer is going up against other solid movies, or would I be a fool to not just pick Oppenheimer every time? Now, granted, we are also going to do our what we think should win along with what will win. So there's going to be a lot of that going on as well. So we'll see how this ends up going. Either way, always a fun episode, always a fun one to talk about. John, you always go about watching all the movies, which is probably why you lose, because you like to play favorites and things like that. Did you watch as many this year or no?
I didn't. I actually feel woefully unprepared coming in this year, because, and I didn't think I was, because when you look at a lot of the categories, it's a lot of these Best Picture noms nominated for them. But then you start getting into the smaller categories, like Best Documentary Feature, Best Documentary Short, Best Live Action Short, Best Animated Short. And I realized, man, these are movies I've usually watched by this point, and I haven't this year. So I got to go by feels instead of actual, like, how I enjoyed something or not. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's
how honestly more worried now than I've ever been. I'm officially more worried about this year's Oscars predictions than I have ever been. If you're somebody who's watching this, go ahead and leave us some comments as we get to these categories. If you think anything in particular should win, if there's any that you have seen that we haven't seen, especially with the shorts and the documentaries and movies along those lines. I've seen everything, I think, from the acting nominees except for Coleman Domingo, but he's not going to win, so that doesn't really matter. I'm not too concerned on that front. We'll start off with a big one, and then we'll work our way into the smaller ones, because that's what the Oscars does as well. In particular, I just think this is a fun one to take a look at, John. I've actually not picked Best Picture right yet, because I do take risks. I just take it on Best Picture rather than anything else. I went Minari back in 2021. I went The Power of the Dog in 2022, and I went All Quiet on the Western Front in 2023. You have picked the Best Picture winner right twice. So you're good at that. You just used to suck really bad at the smaller ones. And maybe that is because you were using your heart and I was just going off of what the odds were. So here we go. Let's dive in.
It makes you feel better. I'm still not using the odds and I'm just going by feel still. So
yes,
maybe that'll give you a little bit more confidence. But it doesn't matter, because whether you want to go by the odds or you prefer to go by the feels, you should really like this video and subscribe to the channel so you know when we're talking about movies.
Yes, that would help as well. And please follow us on social media. We got to build up a Twitter following so that we can really start to advance this, because we have a great video of John trying to figure out Adam Sandler movies that I'm going to post onto all of our social media. The problem is when it's on the Specialist channel, nobody's going to give a shit. Nobody's going to care that it's on the Specialist Instagram, unfortunately, I don't think, because it's going to go out to a bunch of Survivor fans and be like, why are they doing an Adam Sandler thing? But I just think talking about Adam Sandler movies is fun, and I just think talking about movies in general is fun. And we try not to blow up the Specialist feed with all of this stuff. But at some point, like, that's kind of what we're doing. We're not just a Survivor channel. We want to be able to branch out and get some other people. So if you're watching this, like the video, subscribe, go follow us on Twitter, Cinema Specialists. And I don't think I have the Twitter in here, John. That's stupid of me. So here, I'll put that in here right now. So it's in the description of the video. So none of you have an excuse not to follow us over there. So follow us on Twitter. Now, I will also say that if you wanted to get even more information about how we feel about the Best Picture winners and the Best Picture nominees and things like that, make sure you go check out our Patreon. We did our Best Picture breakdowns where we talked about all 10 of the Best Picture nominees, gave their chances to win in each category. I don't remember what we said at this point, John, so I'm probably going to contradict myself like crazy. However, it's definitely worth going and listening to that and letting us know what you think. So here we are. Here we go. I'm ready to roll. We're going to start off because the Oscars starts off with something somewhat popular. We also need to start off with something somewhat popular. Gannon says, hey guys, excited for the Oscars this Sunday, but not really expecting many surprises. Feels like a lot of chalk this year. It's kind of where I'm feeling too. Yeah. We're starting with Best Supporting Actress. So the nominees for Best Supporting Actress are Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. We only have an hour and a half here because then I got to go watch The Traitors and podcast the finale. So, John, let's not waste our time. Who's going to win and who should win?
The answer is the same. It's Divine Joy Randolph. Hands down. Straight up. Like, I don't need, this is the most lopsided category of the entire night, in my opinion.
I do agree. Even though I really enjoyed Emily Blunt more on the second viewing, I thought she was much better the second time I watched Oppenheimer than the first time. America Ferrera has no business being nominated. She's absolutely atrocious in Barbie. Jodie Foster's good, but nobody saw that movie. There's no way she's winning. And then Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. Like, it is what it is. I just don't think enough people saw that either. It is what it is. Divine Joy Randolph will win and should win. If you're looking to make bets on the Oscars, if you live in a state where that is legal, Divine Joy Randolph is minus -3,500, meaning you have to bet $3,500 to win $100.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how much of a favorite she is. Second place is plus 2,000. Now, Robert Downey Jr. is the same level of favorite, but the people behind him are much closer in those odds. Right. So we're starting off with Divine Joy Randolph. If Divine Joy Randolph does not win, this will be a pissed off podcast. And Gannon says, yeah, America Ferrera nom was ridiculous. If America Ferrera ends up winning,
There's no way whatsoever.
We're not talking movies anymore, though, if she does. All right, so we got a big one out of the way. It's the most predictable one of the night. I wanted to do that. Get us going. Let's go through these little ones that we don't really know anything about. Okay, animated short film. We got Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. John, what do you have information on these movies? I feel like you do.
None at all. But like I said, usually I've watched all of the short animated shorts by this point. I don't know anything about any of these.
Wow.
My instinct tells me that people like John Lennon and Yoko Ono, so the War is Over might get a lot of bump because of that. I'm going with Pachyderm. I want this fun one. I don't know what it's about, but it sounds interesting. I'm going with Pachyderm.
So you don't know what it's about, but it sounds interesting. Elaborate.
Well, it's about pachyderms, I assume.
I mean, it's spelled different, though. John, you got to look this up, because Letter to a Pig is certainly not about letters to a pig.
I'm going with it. I'm locking it in Pachyderm.
Okay. I'm actually going to go, I think War is Over is probably the one that would jump out to me right away just because it has John Lennon and Yoko Ono's name attached to it. But Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles. So, like, what the hell is that all about? I'm going to go with Letter to a Pig.
People don't remember that anymore. People are old enough to remember the Beatles anymore.
Here's the description for Letter to a Pig. A traumatic memory from a Holocaust survivor transports a young schoolgirl on an inner journey. And the animation on this thing looks absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going to go with Letter to a Pig. We're probably going to be walking out of here with neither one of us winning. However, this is an interesting one because if I'm not mistaken from the limited research I've done on this, I don't believe that there is a Disney short in here.
No, I don't think one came up this year.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting, because we had a Disney short last year, didn't we? Wasn't the French one, like La Poubelle, was Disney short last year?
It did not win. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. We're doing that one.
Okay. Derm's about a monster dying in a snowstorm. That sounds great. I'm all in.
Yeah. So we don't have much to provide on these, but like we try to give our little bit of insight into like why one would win over the other. Live action short film. This one's easy. The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Anyway, Wes Anderson is not being handed his first Oscar on Sunday night.
No, I never,
I haven't seen it, but there's no way.
I haven't seen it either. Again, like usually I've watched all the live action shorts by this point, but I don't think there's any way when a name like Wes, usually with the shorts, it's really easy to figure out who's going to win because you look at what names are attached to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and sometimes you get a surprise, but for the most part, that is a fair way to go about this.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty like consistent over the last few years too. Like if you look at the shorts for the last couple of years, the people who have won or the ones that have won have had some recognizable name attached to them in some.
Yeah, like there was the Kobe Bryant one the one year, and yeah,
and then like the Riz Ahmed one that one year as well. And this is Wes Anderson. This is somebody who people just love watching all this stuff. Yes, it is sad. Wes is getting his first Oscar for a short film, but I mean, at least he's finally getting the recognition he deserves. Hopefully.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's good. Good for Wes. He's here. He's back, baby. Yeah. Wes gets an Oscar. I don't think he's going to care how he gets his Oscar. I think he's just going to be pumped he has an Oscar. I mean, you know, when you're a movie person, you just want the recognition. You don't care how you get the recognition. So I'm all in on this. So let's take a look. So that one's easy because Wes Anderson is such a massive name. He's a person who's been nominated for stuff in the past. We're going to rip through these other two that are really, you know, kind of whatever categories, because we don't have any new categories this year, right? The new categories start next year with casting and such.
Does casting start next year or the year after? I thought it was until 2026 that casting started.
But there's no new categories this year.
Not that I know of, no.
Okay, good. All right, let's jump in then. Let's do documentary and documentary short. We'll start with documentary short. So documentary short, and I got to pull it up over here. We are looking at the ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Waipo. Now, I'm sorry if I butchered that last one. There's different accent symbols there, and I don't know where they belong. So the ABCs of Book Banning is about the banning of books in school districts around America. And it is a Paramount Plus. I know it's on Paramount Plus. This is the one that's favored.
Okay.
But do you think that this is a polarizing one that maybe at the end of the day actually isn't all that good of a movie, or people will feel isn't that good of a movie? Like what are you thinking as you go into this one, not knowing much about it?
Well, I think like you said, like the ABCs of Book Banning is kind of like this very, like this large hot topic in America these days. And we know how Hollywood tends to respond to hot topics. So I wouldn't be surprised if it pulls it out. Like you said, it's on Paramount Plus, which it might be accessible to some people or more people than usual. The music major in me has to choose The Last Repair Shop, though.
That's the one that I'm kind of thinking. I'll let you take that, and then I'll take the favorite.
It's on Disney Plus. At least in Canada, it's on Disney Plus. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus or Hulu down in the States, but it has to be in one of those two if it's on Disney Plus up here, which makes it really accessible. And I think it's just an interesting story. And especially because, like, as much as Hollywood loves hot button topics, you know what they also love? Movies about the arts.
Yeah, and generally, I used to like watching the shorts, and I say this every year. I used to like watching the shorts because when I was in college at University of Miami, they had the Cosford Cinema, and they would play these all the time. They'd play this stuff every single year, and we'd get to go and watch them for free because we were students. And generally, they give it to the one that should win. They don't really go because there's not as much politicking going on behind the scenes. So I could see that. The Barber of Little Rock seems like it's a pretty cool idea too, with the nonprofit community bank. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go with the ABCs of Book Banning though, because it's the favorite and I just want to beat John, and John's going with his heart once again, even though he hasn't seen the movies and I'm not. Raptor 8415 says Ben Proudfoot was in my grade in high school. Just got to shamelessly name drop every time the Oscars come around these days. He was the one who did the Queen of Basketball. So, yeah, that's a good one to name drop. Like, good on you.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Documentary short's such a weird one because, like, it could really go either, like, anyway.
What's fun is we're ripping through these, but these are the ones that really are going to make or break your...
I know. I'm scared.
This is what's going to make or break it. Like, if you're in if you're in an Oscar pool and you're listening to us because you're in an Oscar pool and you want to see how to win an Oscar pool, right? This is where you're going to win or lose. Especially if Oppenheimer just ends up cleaning up. Mm-hmm. If Oppenheimer cleans up and the only surprise is, you know, was it Emma Stone or Lily Gladstone? The only place to make up any ground is right here in these subjects. So I'm going to go with the ABCs of book banning. I feel like it's the hot button topic. I feel like that tends to be what the Oscars go for these days, whether I like it or not. And that's what I'm going to say is going to be the winner here. And I think I already beat John because I went with Letter to a Pig and the ABCs of book banning. And he went with two things that he thinks sound cool.
Yeah, that's true. But
W's all over the place.
I'll pick it up later. That's okay.
W's. Okay.
I'm totally going to risk it on some of these. And
yeah, it's already over. John's done. It's over. Game over, man. Okay. Let's get into documentary, which is the last one that we really know nothing about. So let's be real. Bo Bevine, The People's Presidents, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, Kill a Tiger, 20 Days in Mariupol. This one also has a very, very heavy favorite.
It's 20 Days in Mariupol, right?
Yeah.
Like heavily? Yeah. I mean, that was going to be my choice anyways. Again, hot button topic. It's what people want to know about. It's going to win.
Now, this was directed by Ukrainians, correct?
I believe so. I believe it is. It was the Ukrainian submission for Best International Film.
And it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think being that this is based on the war in Ukraine, there's no way this is not going to win.
It's definitely.
That's not another subject that is being discussed anywhere. In these films that are nominated for best, you know, for anything throughout the entire Oscars. So yeah, I do believe that this is one that is going to win. It's going to win. I'm very confident and I don't know anything about the other four. They could be good. They could be bad. It doesn't matter. 20 Days of Mariupol is going to win. This is a lock. Lock that one in. That's going to happen. All right. We've gone through the five that or the four movies, the four categories that we know nothing about, and then Divine Joy Randolph, who is a lock, an absolute stone cold lock. So now we can actually start to get into ones that are about movies and things like that. And I want to start off with animated feature because I think animated feature is a very, very intense two dog race. We have The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse both feel like legitimate contenders to win. Now, I saw Across the Spider-Verse. I did not see The Boy and the Heron. Where does your gut telling you on this? Is it going to go the Academy going to go the easy route and give the really popular movie this? Or are they going to go with Miyazaki?
Both of them were pretty popular is the thing, right? Like, Miyazaki is enough to pull people in. And it's tough because Miyazaki did announce that it was not his last film. I'm pretty sure prior to ballots going out. I don't know how much that'll sway people. And The Boy and the Heron isn't the most digestible film either. It's a stunning film. It's really well done, but it's not the like fun Miyazaki a lot of people like. It's the kind of depressing Miyazaki that I really like. And then Spider-Verse is Spider-Verse, right? Like, that's the thing. Patrick Stahl asks, is The Boy and the Heron available dubbed yet? The dub actually simultaneously launched in North America, and it has an all-star cast. The cast for the American dub for The Boy and the Heron is stacked.
Yeah, I have to watch that. Is it like free or anything on Apple TV? Because like for the longest time it was pay $20 to watch it. And I was
in that boat, but I'm not 100% sure.
Because I would love to watch this prior to the Oscars. I wasn't able to get around to it prior to this, but for the longest time, it was like $20 just to pre-order it. I didn't even get to do anything yet. I'm going to go with Gannon, and I'll give my pick before you do. He says, I think Spider-Verse is winning this, and I think it should. I think it's winning. I do. I think Across the Spider-Verse has this on lockdown. I think that while The Boy and the Heron is a great option because it is Miyazaki and it's an opportunity to give him, you know, this award. Did he get it for Spirited Away, or was that just the first one nominated?
I'm pretty sure Spirited Away won Best Animated that year.
Did it? I don't think it did. I think it lost. I think it might have lost to Shrek.
Oh,
but it might not have been that year. Let me see. Spirited Away Oscars. If somebody answers before I finish doing this, it did win. Okay, so it won the Academy Award. It's like their first chance to give it since Spirited Away.
Yeah.
But I think Across the Spider-Verse, man, is just such an insanely popular movie. The animation is stunning. I think it's just a breathtaking movie. I think that's the movie that is going to win here. Everybody who's voting in this saw that movie and liked that movie. And there's just, even if a lot of people loved this other movie, The Boy and the Heron, there's not enough people who loved it more than they loved Across the Spider-Verse.
Do you think the controversy that came out with the animation studio that made Across the Spider-Verse and how much they overworked the animators for it will come into play for this at all?
I actually think it helps the movie. I actually think it helps it. And here's my reason why, because they'll want to almost be like, hey, look, we're rewarding these animators for doing this and dealing with this.
I think in a year where we have had multiple strikes in the industry, it's a detriment to this film.
Interesting.
Because I don't think they want to award. I don't think they want to reward the studio for it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my, I'm putting The Boy and the Heron up here. It's risky.
Damn, you're just setting me up to win.
I know, but you know what? I'm okay with either of these winning, so I don't really care. But personally, I enjoyed The Boy and the Heron more. And yeah, I don't know.
Across the I can't get into a will win, should win on this because I haven't seen The Boy and the Heron yet. I wish I could dive into that conversation. I feel like that would be a fun conversation, but I can't dive into it because I haven't done it yet. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I'm going to go with Spider-Verse just because I think Spider-Verse is just, I think what they're doing with the animation on the Spider-Verse movies is just next level. And I think that's being recognized as next level.
I agree. I just think watching a Miyazaki film, like the animation style for that is just, it's just a different level of animation than what we're getting. It's a different type of animation. I think it's equally as impressive as what Across the Spider-Verse does.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to come down to eyes on the movie, and I think there just won't be as many eyes.
I don't know. Like, look at the names attached to this English dub, right? Like, you have, what was it? Christian Bale, Robert Pattinson, Willem Dafoe. Like, there are a lot of big names attached to the dub of this movie.
I just still don't think it matters. I mean, I don't think we live in, like, a star-driven society as much as we used to. I don't think it matters as much right now.
It's possible. Yeah, I don't know. I preferred The Boy and the Heron. And again, I'm letting my heart get in the way. I'm selecting The Boy and the Heron here.
And that's what it's all about, baby. Let your heart get in the way, John, so I can eat. Please, please let me win this. This is the one thing I have working for me. Please let this happen for me. Okay. Let's dive in to another one that really doesn't have much drama around it. International feature film. It can't have drama because they only nominated one. Io Capitano from Italy. Perfect Days from Japan. Society of the Snow from Spain. The Teacher's Lounge from Germany. And of course, from the United Kingdom, the movie that is nominated for Best Picture, The Zone of Interest. I love Society of the Snow. We did a podcast on that. If you haven't checked out our Society of the Snow podcast, it was a really good podcast. I really enjoyed talking about that movie. Go check that out. I think it's worthwhile for anybody who wants to just hear what we have to say about a J.A. Bayona movie. I think he's a phenomenal, phenomenal director. Gannon says Society of Snow is my favorite of the international films. So it has no chance. My thinking here is it just doesn't. There's no way. Zone of Interest is a lock. It's nominated for Best Picture. How do they not give it this? Because if something else wins this, then it's, wait, why was Zone of Interest? Then it, like, means what that, like, what Best Picture means.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, this is an absolute lock for the zone of interest. Quite frankly, I haven't seen these movies. And this is the category that I'm usually very big on making sure I've watched all of. Perfect Days has been playing in theaters here, and I just haven't had a chance to go out and see it, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, it's the zone of interest. It's hands down the zone of interest. It's not even a question for this category.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. All right, so John, in the past, we've done like all these other categories. We've done some of them. We haven't done original song. We haven't done where there should be a should win. We haven't done film. No, and then we did everything else. It was really just original song that we did where it was, oh, I don't know what the should win is.
Right.
So this year, though, for original song, we are going to do a should win. So for the rest of these, we're doing will wins and should wins. So get amped for that. And let's start off with that one. Let's start off with best original song. And the nominees for this are The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot by perennial loser Diane Warren. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Wazahaji, a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. It's the Barbie show, probably, right? I mean, there's
I would no imagine other way. So. I would imagine. I mean, come on.
Warren's going to win, John.
Diane Warren's here. I mean, we have to be putting some respect on the name, right?
Yeah, she's losing 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, easy. Yeah, I think this is between the two Barbie songs. I didn't listen to this song from American Symphony. I don't know what American Symphony is. Wazahaze is an interesting option. I don't think it's
one of the most interesting choices for a nomination for this category ever.
It really is, because I mean, they're going to perform this on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be performed live. It's going to be very interesting to watch. I'm giving it to I'm Just Ken, because you know what? In the end, when it's between I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For, which of those songs do you remember coming out of the movie?
Okay. So, John, are you saying I'm Just Ken is the should win, or are you saying I'm Just Ken is what will win?
I'm saying both.
Okay. John, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're playing with your heart, man. What Was I Made For is going to win. I didn't realize the popularity of What Was I Made For.
You think they are going to give Billie Eilish her second Oscar?
Absolutely. She was nominated for a Grammy for this song. I think that they want to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, she was. Like, this song, I didn't realize the popularity of this song until I was writing a Grammy predictions article. And I was like, wow, What Was I Made For got the nomination. I don't think it won anything, but like, it was, maybe it did. I don't know. Wait, let me check. What Was I Made For Grammys? It might have actually won something at the Grammys. Yeah, Song of the Year. Song of the Year at the Grammys.
Song of the Year?
Yeah.
Wait, what is this song? I don't even know what this song is, in all honesty.
Wow, John. John, do you want to change your pick? I'll let you get one fix.
Well, give me a second here.
It's a song that plays when they're in like the weird... She's talking to Rhea Perlman.
Oh, okay, yeah. I haven't seen Barbie since it came out.
Dylan Wright says, that's wild. What Was I Made For is a much better song.
Okay, it's this song.
Yeah. Yeah, John, the one that none of us can hear you listening to, thank God, because otherwise we'd get copyrighted.
Well, we can't get the copyright on there. Okay. You know what? I'm going to give the should win to I'm Just Ken, and I'm going to give the will win to What Was I Made For. Learning that it won Song of the Year at the Grammys, there is no question it's not winning this.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I think it will win. The reason why I think that I'm Just Ken should win is because I just think it's fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of want that out of an original song. Like, it's like last year when the song from Triple R won, right? It won last year?
It did.
And it was just like the most fun song out of all of the nominations.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it ended up dominating and was like but that movie also had the hype around it of that movie got snubbed. Right? Like that's for international film. So I don't know. I just think What Was I Made For is going to end up pulling this out. for sure.
I just want to note, Ganon does say in the context of the movie, "I'm just Ken is more memorable."
Because Which is why I think it should win.
It is why it should win. I think the thing is, you know what? While we're on the topic of Best Original Song, the nominations for Best Original Song are always so boring and bland. They are all like the same ballad-esque song that's like thrown into the end credits of a movie just so they can have a nomination for this category.
Mm-hmm.
So when something comes along that isn't that, then something comes along that is diegetic music being used and progressing the plot, I think it's just so much better than these like random songs that are in the movie, but not actually in the movie.
Yeah. And What Was I Made For was definitely in the movie, though. Like, it was in the movie. It wasn't like it was an end credit song like we see a lot of times in these. But I agree with you.
Like, this Diane Warren song?
Probably the scene or sequence, whatever you want to call it, of the year.
I honestly need to watch Barbie again, in all honesty, is where I'm at this point.
I'm surprised you didn't before we did the Best Picture, the Best Picture breakdowns.
I was going to, but then I ended up on an airplane. It was a whole ordeal.
Yeah. All right. Well, so original song, we did that. Why don't we jump into, why don't we do original score? Original score, let me pull up this again. So, you know, we get through the music stuff all at once. American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. What do you like in here?
I had to go first on the last one. You got to go first this time.
All right, Oppenheimer. Okay. I rewatched that movie, man. That score is phenomenal.
The score is very good.
The score is absolutely phenomenal. I think Oppenheimer is going to win this. I think it's got it locked down. In terms of what I think should win, I actually think that it also should win, although Killers of the Flower Moon is very close. Killers of the Flower Moon is such a good score, and it really drives that 3.5-hour movie and makes it feel like it's not as long as it really is. So yeah, I'm going to go with Oppenheimer will win and should win, but there's a very, very real chance that if Killers of the Flower Moon wins, I will not be mad at all. I just think that Oppenheimer's is stronger throughout the entirety of the movie.
So here's the question. Now, here's the question I am facing at this point, because you've locked in Oppenheimer, and I do think Oppenheimer has the more recognizable name. It is a very good score. Like, I can't deny that. Yeah, I mean, when I rewatched Oppenheimer, I was like, oh, the score is actually really, really good. I'm going Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm just giving it to Phil. I'm giving it to Phil here.
You really are, man. You have no backbone today.
No, I do have a backbone, because I am not copying you. I'm going with the other one.
No, here. You're a coward to your feelings, John. You're a coward to your feelings.
I have a little more reasoning for this. And that is because the composer of the Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson, this is like the first time he's had a chance to win. And I think that's actually kind of
the one who's posthumous.
Yes, he's posthumous. That's right. This is his last chance to win. And I think the Academy loves giving things to the last chance people have of winning. And this isn't John Williams' last chance to win anymore, because
he'll be back.
Scores again.
Yeah, Gannon says John's heart is overtaking his brain. 1,000%, John. 1,000%. You're caving. You're caving.
Honestly, but this one, I actually do think there's a logical reason as to why Killers of the Flower Moon might win. And I also really like that score.
Yeah, no, it's a great score. It truly is a phenomenal score. So, like, I would not be mad at all if that ended up winning Best Score. Like, that.
So I'm going to say it will win. But you know what? I will say Oppenheimer probably should win.
Okay, so you're going to go the opposite of what you should. You're going to say Killers of the Flower Moon will and Oppenheimer should.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm in. I can start taking some chances now, because I'm going to win already. I already have it in the bag. I'm not concerned.
You're probably winning anyways, because I'm always the one who's going to take the chances.
Really, what I need to do is I need to figure out. So, like, 2021, I got 8 wrong. 2022, 7 wrong. 2023, 7 wrong. I need to get that down to 6.
Yeah.
I got to get that down to 6. I want to have a perfect one of these years. I'm going to go perfect. Like, 7 wrong last year is pretty incredible. The only things I lost, like, I didn't lose any of the animated or documentary stuff. Like, none of the shorts or documentaries.
Right, because you just went with the favorite in all of them.
Well, but I lost for Babylon for score, sure, because I should have won that. I lost for Babylon for production design, which was insane. It lost.
That's because you went with your heart. That's what I do.
It should have won.
Sorry, thinking like me.
I know. Hey, I'm thinking like you in some instances. Okay. Let's go to film editing, because then makeup and hairstyling and costume design kind of go hand in hand. Wait, what am I doing? Let's go to sound. Duh.
Okay.
We're doing aural pleasure here. So the creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part One, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. John, you get to go first on this one. What are you going with?
I hate the fact that you're doing this to me, because you know what I'm going to say. You know it. I have the same. Okay. The movie that should win is The Zone of Interest, hands down. The sound of that music in that film is just absolutely essential to it, to its experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really torn on this one. I'm really, really torn on this one about who is going to win. My brain tells me Oppenheimer, because people are like, ooh, Oppenheimer. I was just going to vote for Oppenheimer. But my brain also tells me, is the sound in Oppenheimer anywhere near as important to the film as The Zone of Interest? And the answer's no.
That's your final. So what are you saying will win, John? Say it for everybody to hear so we can shame you and publicly scream at you later.
I'm going to say Oppenheimer.
So you're going to go Oppenheimer as will win, but The Zone of Interest as should win?
Yeah. If I was feeling more confident in some of the earlier picks I made, I probably would have said The Zone of Interest here, because I'm pretty sure you're going to say Oppenheimer. But I need to make a point somehow.
I think this is the right move, John. I truly do. I think this was definitely the right move. I think you made a smart decision here. I can't knock you. I think this was right. And I'm just proud of you for realizing that. I do believe that this is a lock for Oppenheimer, because I don't think people are going to realize the subtlety and the greatness of the Zone of Interest sound design. I agree with you. Oppenheimer will win. Zone of Interest should win. I hope Zone of Interest, if there's going to be an upset in one of these smaller categories, I hope this is the one. Because it really does deserve this Oscar. It truly deserves this Oscar.
The other thing that really made it really close for me saying The Zone of Interest will win is when I phoned my mother this week and just had our weekly conversation, she mentioned she had heard The Zone of Interest uses sound better than any movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if my mother's hearing that, Mom, I love you. Don't get offended. It's okay. You're probably not going to listen to this. But if my mother is saying that, somebody out there is saying that about this movie.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah. I mean, there's a very good chance. So yeah, I think Zone of Interest should win, but I just think, again, too subtle. They don't like Oscars don't love subtle. And that's just a fact.
I'm still just really worried. Oscar voters aren't going to watch The Zone of Interest.
No, I think they will. It's nominated for too many things.
It's nominated for a lot of things, but I don't know. I also think it's still kind of a divisive film. Mm-hmm. So that isn't working in its favor, but it should win. It should win this category easily. It shouldn't even be a question that it wins this category, but it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the sound on Oppenheimer is great, but still.
There are a couple really good moments. The problem is the sound is important in about maybe a quarter of that movie, whereas it's important in the entirety of The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's not just scoring. It's not just how are they mixing the sound? It's legitimately you are hearing noises in the background that are horrifying.
Yeah.
But you're hearing them in a very subdued way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. What was I going to say? So let's go over to film editing.
Okay.
And we are going to, and I got to figure something out real quick, John. So I'm going to make you take the lead on this one too. And then I'll jump in and do a couple in a row. So film editing is Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. What do you got?
This one's tough because all of these movies are really well edited, in all honesty. I'm going to start with the Will win because I think that's the easier one. I think Oppenheimer's going to win this, like, hands down. For should win? I'm going to go Anatomy of the Fall. I think Anatomy of the Fall should win. But I think Oppenheimer's going to win.
Okay, so you're going to say Anatomy of a Fall should and Oppenheimer will.
I'm going to change my mind. I think The Holdovers should, because The Holdovers was actually shot on film. And it's actual, literal film editing happening with that movie.
Yeah, I actually was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
This is a great category. So you're saying The Holdovers should win, but you're giving it to Oppenheimer.
I am, yeah.
So I agree that Oppenheimer will win. The should win is hard for me. And that's why I think Oppenheimer is just going to pull this out, because the other movies are all really close. Like, I really appreciate what The Holdovers did, even if you're not looking at it from a, how it was actually like chopped up. You just look at how it was made, how it looks, the feel of that movie. That's all in editing. Killers of the Flower Moon, it's 3.5 hours long, but it manages to click by at a pretty good pace. Poor Things is really well done. Anatomy of a Fall is really well done. But it frustrates me. I thought you were going to stick with Anatomy of a Fall. I do think The Holdovers should win Best Film Editing, but I think it's ultimately going to be Oppenheimer that ends up pulling it out, as I think The Holdovers is probably only walking out of here with supporting actors, but we'll talk about that when we get to screenplay and all that.
The other categories and stuff? Yeah. I just think, like, I also think Anatomy of the Fall was edited so stupendously. If you look at, like, the cuts and everything that happened in that movie, it's just done so well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, ultimately, I want to give it to The Holdovers, like, just for the amount of work that goes in to make a movie like that nowadays.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. But Oppenheimer will win. Look, yeah. I'm not going to let my heart get in the way of anything, because, like, I said, I want a perfect year.
I know you
do. One of these years, I'm going to get a perfect year. All right, let's do costume design. So the nominees for costume design are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This is one of the few situations where Oppenheimer is not favored. In fact, it's a long shot. It's a very deep long shot. Barbie and Poor Things are running neck and neck up at the top. Killers of the Flower Moon, pretty disappointingly, is not really be given much of a chance here. I think the costuming's great. But this is between Barbie and Poor Things. It's going to be the same thing with makeup and hairstyling, probably. Although Maestro is very much involved in that one. We'll get there.
Really?
But where are you leaning on Barbie and Poor Things? Or do I need to go first?
Okay. I'll go first, just so you don't accuse me of copying you. I think actually the big thing is I think this is a really interesting category, because I think you kind of have to look at it hand in hand with production design this year. Because I think whoever wins this one, the other probably wins production design. And if that's the case, I'm going to give costuming to Poor Things over Barbie, simply because the Academy appreciates that period costuming a lot more. And while, yes, you can argue Barbie has period costuming, it's not the same as the costuming that's done in Poor Things, that Victorian costuming that the Academy favors so heavily.
Yeah. So what are you saying should win?
Barbie should win, I think.
You're actually going to go against Barbie winning.
But I am going to go against Barbie on this one. I'm going to give it to Poor Things.
Okay. I'm going to go and I'm going to give it to Barbie in a close one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it's going to win. And I'm going to say that the should win on this one is Napoleon. No, I'm just kidding. I hate so average.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to say Poor Things should win. So I'm going to go the opposite of what you did. Okay. I'm going to say I'm going to say Barbie will win, but Poor Things should win. And you're going to say Poor Things will win, but Barbie should win. And I'm going to feel probably the opposite with production design, where I think Barbie should win, but Poor Things has a better chance of winning that one.
I'm going to say the opposite. I think that Barbie will win and Poor Things probably should win.
All right, so let's do those nominees real quick. Barbie, yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. And once again, it's Poor Things and Barbie at the top here. Killers of the Flower Moon and Napoleon with no shot. Oppenheimer somewhere in there. But you're saying Barbie will win, Poor Things should win.
I just think what they do in Barbie Land is so impressive from a production standpoint that, yeah, I think Barbie will win this and Poor Things probably should, because I think the world that Yorgos Lanthimos creates and like his crew creates for Poor Things is fascinating. I just don't think it's quite different enough to get the attention needed to win production design.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here and I'm saying they're going to flip these accidentally. They're going to mess this up. They are just going to mess this up. It should be, this one should be Barbie, because I think the production design in Barbie is absolutely incredible, but they're going to give it to Yorgos and his really incredibly strange world that he created here with Poor Things. And I think that Poor Things is going to win, but Barbie should win. And then for costume, Barbie's going to win when it should be Poor Things that wins. So we're reversed on this, John. We're absolutely reversed. We just confused everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's been able to keep it straight. All I know is for these two categories, pick either Poor Things or Barbie.
Yes.
Nobody else has a chance in these categories.
And like, it's possible the same one wins both of them.
For sure.
I think it's more likely that one wins one and the other wins the other.
This might be the only opportunity they have to give an award to Poor Things, too. If Emma Stone's going to lose to Gladstone, this is really the only chance they have.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's go over to makeup and hairstyling. We got Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow sneaking in there with a second nomination. That's always fun. Always like to see that. This one I've been talking about since the beginning, so I'll do this right now. Since I watched the movie, and if you're a patron and you listen to our Best Picture breakdowns, I love this one. Maestro, 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 Maestro. It will win. It should win. The makeup and the hairstyling in this movie is absolutely out of this world. They make Bradley Cooper look like an old man. The hair styling of Carrie Mulligan as she's aging is just absolutely incredible. Makeup and hairstyling is going to be won by Maestro. There's an argument to be made for Poor Things, but I ultimately think that Maestro will be receiving this award, because I truly believe that this is some of the most astounding makeup we've seen in years.
So I know you and I are both higher on Maestro than a lot of people are. I don't think Maestro is getting a single award on Sunday night. I think it should. It definitely should win this category again.
Big mad. We didn't put up Blake, Zone of Interest, Best of the Year, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to our episode that we did with Survivor, Digging Deeper, check that out. Continue, John.
Don't worry, Blake. We'll talk about Zone of Interest later when we actually talk about Best Picture. But I don't think Maestro's going to pull it off. I really don't. And it should, because, again, like you said, like the makeup and hairstyling in it is phenomenal. I'm giving this one to Poor Things.
Wow. What do you think will... You think Poor Things will and should?
No, I think Poor Things will. I think Maestro should.
Yeah, I could see Poor Things getting the win here because Maestro is not actually a very popular movie right now. Mm-hmm. But I just think the makeup being in Maestro is just out of control.
I also think Poor Things especially wins this if it loses production design and costume.
Yeah, but I just told you it's not going to lose production design, John. No, I just told you that.
But I said it was, so...
Yeah, but listen to me, John.
Yeah,
okay. All right, let's do visual effects. I like visual effects. Visual effects are fun sometimes in movies, depending on the movie. The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. John, do I know what's going to win this award? I feel like this one is wide open.
It's interesting because, first off, I thought they dropped the Part 1 from Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning's title.
I guess not. It's on there for the Academy Awards. I'm reading this straight off the Academy Awards. Yeah.
Weird. I thought I read somewhere that they dropped the Part 1 because they were just going to name the sequel something else, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay. This is tough. The Creator, not a good movie. Sure looked good, though. Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of like Disney's only chance to really win an Academy Award this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible. The visual effects are good. The practical effects are better. Like, Tom Cruise jumping off a cliff isn't considered a visual effect, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
well, I don't think it's actually considered a visual effect, mm-hmm. just like how, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, like, their practical effects are great, but that's not what the nominations are.
Napoleon, I don't even remember the visual effects in that movie. I don't know why it has a nomination here.
They break the ice that one time.
Oh, that's right. But then there's Godzilla Minus One. And I'll tell you this right now. Godzilla Minus One should win this.
Especially
if you, look at the budget used to make Godzilla Minus One.
10 to 12 mil.
Like, it's so good. And, like, I know Ganon. Like, this is kind of the hard
thing. I like that Ganon is all over the comments here. Potential hot take. Relative to the budget, Godzilla Minus One looks amazing, but the award is best visual effects in totality, not relative to the budget, so creators should win.
And that's kind of where I'm struggling right now, because there are parts of Godzilla Minus One that don't look great. Like, Godzilla himself, the CGI used for Godzilla, isn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is so hyped. People were like, this movie extended its run in North America from a single week to like 8 weeks. I think it might still be playing someplace.
It grossed more money than The Creator worldwide.
Yeah. I'm going to give this to Godzilla Minus One because I think they want to recognize that movie.
So what are you saying should win? Are you saying it should win as well?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'm saying it will win, and I'm saying it should win. I think that there's an argument to be made for these other movies, but I think the only thing preventing Godzilla Minus One from winning this award is that it's not in English. I'm serious. I think that's the only thing preventing it from winning this award. I think if this movie was in English, it would win it so easily. The Creator is not popular enough, and it was so hated on when it came out, even though, like, the reviews aren't terrible, but it was hated on enough. And then when you look at something like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Dead Reckoning, Napoleon, those didn't do enough. I think it's Godzilla Minus One's to lose.
However, Godzilla Minus One was released a second time, too, in black and white.
Yeah, it was only supposed to get kind of like one of those really small...
1 week. It was supposed to be released for 1 week in like 2,000, in like, not even, I think it was like 600 theaters. And then it got a wide release after that because it just kept making money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think this is the only place they can award Godzilla Minus One. So here you go.
And all honesty, like, Hollywood should be awarding a movie like this because this is the type of movie that gets people into theaters.
Yeah, I agree.
And that is something that Hollywood is really struggling to do lately. And anything that encourages more like blockbuster foreign language films to be in theaters, I'm all for it.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over to cinematography. We got El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Poor Things, what is it? They learned what a fisheye lens was, that's for sure.
They sure did.
I'm going with Oppenheimer as will win. I am going to say that Killers of the Flower Moon should win, but Oppenheimer will win.
I do think this is Oppenheimer's to lose. I think there's a chance Poor Things pulls it out. But if you
just because it's so over the top,
it's
right?
It's so over the top. And like, if you've listened to our Best Picture breakdown, I do say, like, I'm not a big fan of the cinematography in Poor Things. But a lot of people were talking about the cinematography in Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see Oppenheimer losing this.
Mm-hmm.
What should win? You know what? I'm going to go with Maestro as the should win on this one.
Wow.
I think the cinematography black and white a little bit? Really underappreciated in that movie.
Yeah.
But
I feel you on that.
But like Killers of the Flower Moon, also spectacular cinematography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ay. I think it should be Killers of the Flower Moon just because of like the landscapes and stuff. But I'm an old school man when it comes to that. You know, like, here you go. Those shots in Killers of the Flower with... moon with the fire through the window, like,
yeah,
it's great, man. It's great.
It's gorgeous.
But it's Oppenheimer's going to win.
To lose. Yeah.
Yeah. Oppenheimer's going to win. Okay. Let's jump over to the screenplay categories. We're doing this we're getting off at a pretty good clip here, John.
You're
impressed with us. Adapted screenplay first. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. What do you think?
I mean, Oppenheimer will win. There's an argument Barbie wins, but I think Oppenheimer is winning this.
Wait, did the WGA Awards happen, though?
I don't know. Did they?
I think they did. Hold up.
They had to have, right?
No, they didn't happen yet.
Haven't happened. Okay, interesting.
When is the awards? Oh, they're not till April 14th. Wow.
Okay, but Barbie isn't nominated for it.
Because Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, I don't think are in the WGA. I think they're in the DGA.
Right. I don't feel like Barbie is going to win it. I think there's an argument it does because Greta Gerwig didn't get a Best Director nom.
That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that because she didn't get the nomination, they're going to end up giving her this award. What about American Fiction? Cord Jefferson's like fun movie that really took everything by storm. This feels like the screenplay categories are where they do some interesting things sometimes, and they throw a bone to some of these smaller indie movies that are really, you know, take Hollywood by storm a little bit.
That's true, but I feel like with a movie like Oppenheimer, it tends to just get so many more awards than it really should. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I feel, and like, even if we look at, even last year with Everything Everywhere All at Once, winning all, like, yes, I mean, it should have won adapted or original screenplay and everything. So maybe it's a bad comparison, but like, there's just a momentum when these type of movies are out there, right? Mm-hmm. I think Oppenheimer will win, but I mean, you know where I'm going with this. Well, you know what I think should win? It's absolutely The Zone of Interest should win.
Yeah, The Zone of Interest, man, is just a hard one to pitch me on the screenplay.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's a great screenplay. It's just a hard thing to pitch here. I'm going to go and I'm going to say what should win is I'm going to go American Fiction across the board. I'm going to say it will win and I'm going to say it should win. I think the screenplay is what makes American Fiction great. Mm-hmm. I, as somebody who went and got his MFA in creative writing and had to sit through a lot of the bullshit that is discussed in this movie, I really appreciated it. I really loved every second of that. And it maybe focuses a little too much on the family drama and things like that. But yeah, I'm in. I think American Fiction will win. I think it should win. I think Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest, Barbie, they all could win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Poor Things really has much of a chance, but I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to say American Fiction, this is where they give it an award and this is where they honor it.
Phil's being nice to me and giving me a chance to get back.
I'm trying to give you one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you one. All right. Original screenplay. We have, where did it go? Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. So John, I know what you think should win, which is Past Lives.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely should. This is a tough one. This is a really tough one to nail down here. Oh, do I go with my heart? No, you keep making fun of me when I go with my heart. Past Lives is so good, though. But Alexander Payne didn't even get a director nom. Neither did Celine Song.
Mm-hmm. But it's not Alexander Payne who's nominated here. It's David Henningsen.
Oh, it's not. Interesting.
Yeah, because it wasn't written by Alexander Payne here.
Hmm. Anatomy of a Fall. Oh, this is so tough. Okay, let's make the easy thing. May December's out.
May December's not winning. No, that's not winning. And I don't think Maestro's winning either. It's between Past Lives, The Holdovers, and Anatomy of a Fall.
People really liked Anatomy of a Fall. Is this like a consolation prize for Anatomy of a Fall not getting best?
It can't win anything else, I don't think. I don't think it has a chance really anywhere else.
No, I don't think it really has a chance anywhere else. Which, I mean, I think it should win somewhere else, but we'll get to that. This is tough. This is a real tough one. Which one do you think should win?
The Holdovers.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
This is a great category, but I think The Holdovers should win. I think Anatomy of a Fall is going to win. I think Anatomy of a Fall is
I'm the leaning the same way.
Courtroom drama that Hollywood loves.
I'm leaning the same way because Anatomy of the Fall, again, it's like you said, this is the category that Anatomy of the Fall stands a chance of winning. And I think that does put it over the top.
Yep. That's exactly what I think.
So I think Past Lives should win hands down. Obviously, favorite movie of the year, but I am going to say Anatomy of Fall will win.
Okay. So we're into five categories left. We're going to start off with supporting actor. A little bit more drama here than supporting actress, but not much more. Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. Downey Jr. is going to win.
Yep.
I still, after all this time, I still think Gosling should win. So I know you're in agreement Downey Jr. is going to win.
Yeah.
But who do you think should win?
The other Robert.
You think it should be De Niro?
I think it should be De Niro. I think De Niro's performance in Killers of the Flower Moon is absolutely spectacular. But I also think Robert De Niro is like the best actor of all time. So
yeah. Nah, man, I got to go. I got to go Gosling. I just think what Gosling did, the comedic performance in that movie is just, it's incredible. It really is. And hey, this is how Kevin Kline won his Oscar. So maybe Gosling will win his.
That's true. And like, it's wild. We aren't even talking about Mark Ruffalo in this conversation because Mark Ruffalo is also fantastic in Poor Things.
Yeah, he's just, in my opinion, he's just out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think they're all out of it. I think Downey Jr. is going to win, but like to me, it's got Ruffalo might be the fourth best. Gannon says Sterling was his favorite. See, I think Sterling was the weakest.
I think Sterling K. Brown just wasn't in enough of American Fiction really to warrant it. But that's kind of the awkward thing with supporting actor and supporting actress all the time. It's like how much you're in a film doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's move away and let's go to Best Actor. We're leaving actress for later. Actor: Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, Killian Murphy, and Jeffrey Wright. Anyway, Murphy loses.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so. But I definitely think Paul Giamatti should be winning this.
Yeah, so we're in agreement on that. I mean, rewatching Murphy's performance in Oppenheimer the second time. It is an unbelievable performance.
It is.
Like, it is a 10 out of 10 masterful performance. However, Giamatti is better.
Yeah.
Giamatti is better. His physical appearance, the way he walks, the way he moves. He plays pathetic so unbelievably well in this movie. I'm not saying Giamatti can't win at this point. I know a lot of people have already written in that Killian Murphy is an Oscar winner. Giamatti could be the shock of Oscar night.
I agree. I could kind of see this being like the year Anthony Hopkins won. I don't think it's the same caliber of performance. Anthony Hopkins obviously should have won for The Father. His performance in that is an all-time best performance. But I could see it shocking people the way that did.
Yeah, and it really is. I just feel like Oppenheimer is just going to keep crushing. It's going to be like everything everywhere at once. And then what's going to happen is, John, next year we're going to get a movie that does deserve to win every Oscar, and it's not going to because people are going to be tired of, oh, it's just sweep after sweep after sweep. And next year we're going to get a movie that probably should win it. So that'll be fun.
I do think the nice thing about Oppenheimer in like this that sense, though, is that there's no way Emily Blunt wins Best Supporting Actress. And like that helps prevent it from being the full sweep, right?
Yeah. That's a good point. All right, actress in a leading role. This is the most competitive category there is, I think, out of the big ones. This is tough. Annette Bening from Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan, Maestro, Emma Stone, Poor Things. Lily Gladstone got the huge win at the SAG over Emma Stone, which pretty much puts her as the favorite, but Hüller was not nominated for that award. I don't think Bening or Mulligan are going to win, even though they're both phenomenal. So it comes down to Gladstone and Stone. And then we have Hüller just kind of sitting there waving, saying hello. Where's your heart on this one, John?
Oh, you know it. No, he went with my heart. This is tough. I actually, this and Best Director are the two toughest categories this year. Despite the fact that Best Director has like a very clear front runner. from like a quality standpoint, they're very tight categories. Kerry Mulligan is absolutely spectacular in Maestro. The scene, like her last scene in that movie, is one of the most fantastic acting performances I've ever seen. Emma Stone's physical performance in Poor Things is spectacular. Annette Bening swam for 8 hours a day while doing NIAID. And I mean, if you haven't listened to Phil and I talk about NIAID, we did that a couple weeks ago. It was an interesting conversation for a film that like didn't really have any attention until these Oscar nominations came out. Sanji Huler is in two Best Picture nominees this year. And quite frankly, I think she should win. Her performance in Anatomy of a Fall is spectacular. And then you just tack on her performance in The Zone of Interest, which, I mean, technically she's up for the Anatomy of a Fall, but you tack on the fact that she's also in The Zone of Interest and spectacular in that film too. I'm using the word spectacular way too much, but that's okay. Yeah,
you did Spectacular Now, starring John.
Yeah. I think Sandra Hüller should win. That being said, Lily Gladstone also absolutely phenomenal in Killers of the Flower Moon. Won the SAG, is most likely going to win this, and is the person, is who I'm locking in as the will win.
So you're putting Gladstone will win, Hüller should win.
Yeah.
All right, I've thought about this category a lot. A lot. Like, I really have. I've thought about this category a lot because this is the hardest one. And I've decided, in my infinite wisdom, this is Emma Stone.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's going to be her, and I think she should win. I do, after everything, after thinking about it, I think she's better. I think she's the best. And I would actually say Mulligan's probably second. And I think that the reason why is I thought about the physical performance that Emma Stone does in this movie. And it's outstanding. It's just outstanding. It's over the top. And I actually think Sandra Hüller's nomination is going to hurt Lily Gladstone because it's subtle and it's different. And those two are going to pull from each other. And I think Emma Stone's going to win. And I think the right person is going to win this award, even though any of these five women can win. And I'm totally fine with it. But I think Emma Stone is going to end up pulling it out because I think Hüller is going to end up hurting Lily Gladstone.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally could see that coming. I'm just shocked that after you, for the last 2 months, saying whoever wins the SAG is who I'm going to say is going to win this category, and you're going against it. I'm baffled right now. But when was the last time we had a Best Actress category this stacked?
Dude, it's been a long time. I mean, this category is insane.
Yeah.
This category is absolutely insane this year.
Again, like, if Best Director didn't have a clear front runner, this and Best Director would be the hardest two categories to choose from. This is by far the hardest category to choose from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's do Director.
Yeah.
Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. John, I feel like I've said this person definitely deserves it over and over and over again. Nolan's going to win. I'll just say that one 100%. Right away.
Put it in for both of us.
Okay, so Nolan's going to win. Where this becomes interesting is who should win. Who do we actually think is the best? And I have said different people throughout this entire process. At one point, I was like, it's Triet. At one point, I was convinced it was Nolan. At one point, I was convinced it was Scorsese. And that was where I thought I was going to land. I'm going to go Glazer. I think
Glazer. I also am going to go Glazer. It's 100% Glazer. I think the direction in the Zone of Interest is on another level. And I think Jonathan Glazer is the only person who stands a chance of beating Nolan in this category.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Scorsese could still sneak in.
Sure. I mean, his name is Scorsese. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Jonathan Glazer's direction in The Zone of Interest is just absolutely impeccable. So I'm going to say it should be him, but Nolan's going to win and I'm not going to be mad about it.
You know what? I rewatched The Dark Knight earlier today in preparation for one of the brackets we're doing in a couple weeks. And you know, it kind of reminded me just like Christopher Nolan has this vision, and the fact that this is like his big opportunity to win, I'm not mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to happen. I mean, dude, The Dark Knight, I'm glad you're finally coming around to how perfect that movie is.
I've always been high on that movie. I don't know
why. Yeah, but you never said it was perfect. Go listen to our top 100 movies where I had it in my top 100, and John essentially tried to tell me it wasn't that good.
I still gave it 4 stars.
Did you give it 4 stars the last time?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Fine, you've tricked me. All right. The big one, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. The only way I'm mad is if Barbie wins. Otherwise, I don't care. I think the other 9 movies are all absolutely deserving. American Fiction has no shot in hell, so I'm not even worried about that happening.
Yeah.
What do you think? So if I were to say to you right now, because we've gone through this a bunch of times.
Yes.
What are the top 3 odds to, like, the top 3 favorites to win this right now? Oppenheimer's clearly number 1. What do you think is second, and then what do you think is third?
Like, personally, from a personal...
No. What do you think the odds on... Like, what do you think the odds on second and third highest favorites are? If something was going... Like, Vegas is essentially saying, if Oppenheimer doesn't win, this movie has the next best chance, and then this movie has the best chance after that. What do you think is
second? I will say... So, it's obviously Oppenheimer number 1.
Mm-hmm.
I would say The Holdovers is number 2. And then Anatomy of a Fall at 3.
So it's crazy what the odds are now. Oppenheimer's the clear number 1. Then it's Poor Things. The Zone of Interest has launched into
what?
The Holdovers, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Anatomy of a Fall, and then American Fiction, Past Lives, and Maestro are way down there. Oppenheimer.
I keep forgetting about Poor Things, in all honesty.
Yeah, Oppenheimer's going to win. Yep. The Holdovers was my favorite movie of the year, so that's what should win. But I'll do a could win on this because I think that's the most important. The Zone of Interest is the movie that can win. I don't think Poor Things can win. Mm-hmm. I think The Zone of Interest can be the one that sneaks in and pulls this out.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oppenheimer's winning this. There's been so much hype about that movie since it came out. And since the beginning of award season, everyone's been talking about Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer.
Not winning would be as shocking as Saving Private Ryan losing to Shakespeare in Love.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm not even putting my favorite movie of the year
as
my should win. Despite the fact that, like, I love Past Lives, unequivocally, it's not the best movie that was made this year. It's the best movie for me this year. But The Zone of Interest is hands down the best movie that was made this
year. Look how mature you've become, John.
I know.
Look at this.
The only reason The Zone of Interest isn't my favorite movie of the year is because it's just too heavy.
Yeah.
I can't watch that the way I've watched Past Lives since it came out. But The Zone of Interest, by far, on every level, top to bottom, I think is the best film made this year.
There you go. You heard it from John, everybody. John says it's the best movie. So John's got The Zone of Interest as the should win. If you enjoyed this, I mean, we just went through every single category. If you enjoyed this, if you end up winning your Oscar thing, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Like I said, follow us on Twitter. I now put our Twitter handle in the description here so you can actually go and pay attention to that. That'll be fun. We're trying to get our Twitter following up because essentially what we want to do is have different social media accounts that bring everybody to our specialist channel and not be clogging the specialist channel where everybody just wants to see me post pictures of Venus and then have everybody just,
you know, is that happening?
Yeah, did you see that I post a picture of Venus and say get her to the merge and I get like 485 likes? It's very easy to beat Twitter. I figured it out. But yeah, anyway, so make sure you tune in next Monday. We will be live with our ultimate Adam Sandler bracket. So excited to do that. What better way to follow up the Oscar Sunday than to do an Adam Sandler bracket? There's really no better way. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And hope you guys are enjoying this. I mean, I know that over on the channel, these videos aren't the ones that pull in so many views, and it's not like people are rushing over so that they can talk to us about movies all the time. But we really enjoy it, and if you want to be, if you want more, go ahead and go over to Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist. We do a movie podcast every single Tuesday. Last week was Batman. This upcoming week's going to be Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, then Ghostbusters, then North by Northwest. So we're having a really good time over there. Plus, if you become a $10 patron, go back and if you want to just become a $10 patron before the Oscars, you can go back and you can listen to all of our best picture breakdowns. They're all there. They're all available if you become a $10 patron now. And that's just for the month. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoy. Also, that's the best way to support us because as Leo Loris said earlier, Phil is busy today. I did my Patreon podcast. I podcasted with Blake. I'm podcasting with you. I got to go watch the Traders after this. Then I got to podcast the Traders. So even though the Traders podcast has been pushed to 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, that was live during this episode that got changed. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this and we'll see you next time.